1:1. And when we turn to Genesis 1:1, we'll do a little review today. As we turn to Genesis 1:1, you see the word create there in the first verse. Now, we spent quite a bit of time proving that there should not be an article in front of beginning, that it's in a beginning. And the reason for that is that there are at least three beginnings prior to that. We found a verse over in the book of Job that says that when the universe came into being, the spirit beings had already been created. So that means there was a beginning of the spirit beings being created prior to Genesis 1:1. We also saw that there was, prior to that even, God, the three persons of the Godhead, sat down, or using human terms, had a council, and they decided what the decree was, and they decided the plan. Now, if you have your notes, under part B there, I have the fall of Lucifer and a third of the angels. That really shouldn't go there before Genesis 1:1. I made a mistake in the outline. Lucifer falls, and the third of an angels fall between the first and the second verse. So we really only have documented three beginnings prior to, and there's probably one more at least, prior to the first verse of the Bible. So what we're saying here is that we're going to correct, and then we're going to appreciate the Hebrew language a little bit. We're going to correct that first verse to say in a beginning, because it was a quality of a beginning, and it's only the beginning of the universe. There was God never. That's something that's I can't conceptualize, but I believe, and that's that God never had a beginning. That's sort of a hard one as humans. We're going to celebrate the beginning of the McPherson boy here in a minute, and we all have a beginning. Everything we see had a beginning. But God never had a beginning. And so that's very important. And then we'll look at, after we go to the Lord in communication, we'll look at some other beginnings that get mixed up with this one in Genesis 1:1. Our Father, we do thank you for your word. We'd ask as we look there that we see the things that you have for us, and we appreciate it for what it is. Amen. Now, if you bear with me, there's a couple beginnings that people mix up with Genesis 1:1. And so if you'll turn over to 1 John, I want to show you another beginning, which doesn't go back to Genesis 1:1, but most people try to make it happen that way, and it isn't true. Now remember, I told you, except in the book of Revelation, and I listed them for you in your outline, except for in the book of Revelation, let me see, I have it here, and also two other places. There is some places where the should go in front of beginning. But if you'll turn to 1 John, the first chapter, we want to look at another beginning that is very important to us. This is actually the beginning of Christian truth. Verse 1, and that which was from, and again, if you've been listening remembering it, it shouldn't be in the beginning, it should be a beginning. Now, most biblical people that study the Bible, they see the word the beginning, and oh, that's Genesis 1:1. But now let's read it. Let's see. That which was from a beginning, which we heard, well, there's no hearing in Genesis 1:1, which we have seen. And this editorial we of John. John here, and he's going to do it, let's see, let's look down in the context. He's going to do it in the second verse, where he also says, and then he says that the life was manifest, and he's obviously talking about the earthly sojourn of Jesus. If you turn over to the second chapter in the seventh verse, he tells you what this beginning is, what the beginning is that he's referring to. Chapter 2, verse 7. It's quite probable today I'm going to make a whole plethora, a cornucopia, if you would, of mistakes. So if I give you the wrong verses, feel free to interrupt me, because the knife isn't that sharp in the drawer up here right now. There's a little cloud running around in my head, okay? Verse 2 of the second chapter. Brethren, I am in the present writing the book of 1 John, no new quality of commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you have heard from a beginning. So what John here then is identifying in the book of 1 John is a beginning. If you'll turn back to John the 13th chapter, this is the beginning he's talking about. Right in the upper room, in the this is where the New Testament begins. Now, you've probably heard this from me before. You'll hear it again. If I was to divide the Bible, you understand the Bible is divided in Old Testament and New Testament. That's not inspired. If I was dividing it, I would divide from Genesis 1:1 to Exodus 19, I'd say that is pre-Old Testament. I take Exodus 19, or up through John, halfway through the 13th chapter, and call that the Old Testament. And then, so this is the start of the New Testament in verse 34 of the 13th chapter. And remember, in the 31st verse, Judas leaves, or the 30th verse. So Judas is gone, and only those that are going to be transitionalized into the New Testament are present. And he says in verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you. So if we put that with what we saw over in 1 John 2:7, that's a beginning. So what I'm telling you, every time you see the word beginning, it doesn't go back to Genesis 1:1, which most biblical scholars want to do. Now let me show you another beginning that doesn't have anything to do with directly to do with Genesis 1:1. Turn, if you will, to the first chapter of John. This is not the beginning of Genesis 1:1. And if you remember what I told you, except for three places in Revelation, and a place in Luke, and a place in John, the word "the" should not be in front of beginning. Now, what do you have here? If you look in the first verse of John, the first chapter, if you look at the word "word" there, and your King James is capitalized, we know who that represents when we go down to verse 14, and the word became human or flesh. So that identifies what word is. So the word, back in verse 1, is the person of the Son of God. This is one of the most wonderful verses in the whole New Testament. So let's get it right. Actually, this isn't New Testament, but it's anticipating the New Testament. Verse 1, in a beginning. Now, why are I? Because you can take any quality of beginning. You can take one of the three that happened before Genesis 1:1. You can take the beginning at Genesis 1:1. You can take the beginning in Genesis 2:7. You can take the beginning in John 13. Or you can take the beginning that John is referring to in 1 John. And this is true. So any quality of beginning, and any quality of beginning already existed, the Word. That means when we go back to Genesis 1:1, you know, I'm telling you, most of Christendom gets this wrong. And you know, now they're calling Seventh-day Adventists and Mormons Christians now. We're getting pretty liberal with that term. But no matter where you go, what this verse says in time, and even before time, already existed the Word. The Son of God was already there. Now do you see why it's so important to put a beginning back in Genesis 1? And we want it here too. In a quality of beginning already existed continually, Word. That's the person. We know that from verse 14 of the Son of God. And the Word was facing the God. That's the other person. That's God the Father. So what you have here, the dynamics that we have in this verse is that no matter where you look, in time or before time or after time, God the Son was equal to God the Father, and they both were already existing. That is marvelous truth. were already facing God the Father. That's another person. And the Word, now watch the change here. God the Son was already existing as God. Now, I don't know if you heard me, but around Christmas, there's always somebody that gets on the Christian stations and says, 2,000 years ago, God was born. And it's like nails on a blackboard to me, because he wasn't born. You can go anywhere you want in the Bible, before Genesis 1:1, before the 37th chapter of the book of Job, before spirit beings, God the Son was equal to God the Father, and they already both existed. That's what this verse says. Now we have have the Word again in verse 2. And the same, that would be the Son of God, already existed in a beginning, facing God. So you have two persons of the Godhead here that already exist in the past. And then the last part of verse 1 also doesn't have an article before the word theos or God. It says that the Word was God. So, was God born 2,000 years ago? Say no. He wasn't. He became incarnate, but he wasn't born. He never was born. So now when we go back to Genesis 1:1, I hope you have an appreciation why we have insisted that it doesn't say in the beginning. It says in a beginning, and there's many beginnings. And there's a beginning of Christian truth in John 13. There's a reference to it in 1 John. There's several beginnings in Scripture, and we want to keep it straight. Now we're going to go on with this verse 1 in chapter 1. I should mention, Tuesday nights we're dealing with after the creation of Adam on in dispensations. And it's Sunday morning, Sunday school, we're dealing up to and including the creation of Adam, but not the dispensation of innocence. Now one of the things that is, I hope you've heard me say that the Hebrew language is a pictorial language. For instance, it doesn't have a word that actually says righteous. And in Greek and in English we can say righteous, which means to act right. In Hebrew they'll say walks upright. It's a pictorial language. And let me give you one, if you go, because this is a Tuesday night, when if you go over to give you an example of how Hebrew operates, and then I'll tell you. So there's a lot of interpretation. Over in the fourth chapter of Genesis, I think I can get it right here. In the last part of verse 6, where it's last part of verse 5 and the last part of verse 6, where Cain is getting upset. And it says in the last part, and Cain was very wroth, and in the King James you have, and his countenance fell. In the original it says his face fell down. Now, when I used to work in the hood, there was an old expression. When the little kid got mad, they'd put their lip out. And so in Hebrew, instead of saying somebody's mad, they're going to say their lip is out, so to speak. And that's the language of the Hebrew. It's pictorial. It's like it draws pictures in your mind. Now, and Greek is so much more precise, there's really only two tenses in Hebrew. There's a perfect and imperfect, and then there's all kinds of conjugations off that. But you really don't have a future and a past and a present and all that. You have to interpret all that in Hebrew. But now when we go back to the first verse of the first chapter, I want to say something about Hebrew. That's good. The verbs that are used in the first two and first six chapters of Hebrew of Genesis are as accurate or more accurate than the Greek. And that's important. And I'm going to show you one importance right away, which will destroy almost everything that's taught on Genesis. You read in the first verse, in a beginning God created. Now, don't have to raise your hand, because I know everybody's hand would go up. How many have heard about the 6 days of creation? Well, you see this word created here? It doesn't show up. It shows up in the 21st verse and the 27th verse. So go down to the 21st verse of Genesis. What day is that? In my Bible, that's day five, isn't it? So, what I call it is the 2 days of creation. There's 6 days, but only two have the word create in it. So now we're going to have to pick up some other words. But before we pick up some other words, I want to show you this word create, because we can get it described right out of the book of Psalms. So if you go to Psalm 33, remembering that we can always tell somebody didn't go to seminary because they say Psalms 33, but we said Psalm 33. If you look at Psalm 33, page 613, and here we're going to see the word create. This word create's only used about 20 or 30 times in the whole Old Testament. And I want to really stick in our mind what it means, because it doesn't show up until the fifth day. It's in the first verse, and then it's down in the fifth day. Well, some other stuff was going on in the first 4 days, which aren't create. Now, the reason I'm doing this is because we use this word incorrectly in our everyday life, and so we got to use it the way it should be used biblically. So I'm in Psalm 38, and I want to look at verses 8 and 9. Let all the earth fear the Lord, Jehovah. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he, now I can tell you who that he is, because I read it over, if I would have read the third verse in John, the first chapter, that he is identified as God the Son. So in my Bible, I'm teaching you how to do Bible study, I have a little X by this he, because I know that is the Son of God, but he's not really Christ here. He spoke, and you have in the King James was, it should be came to be. Let's do it again. He, the Son of God, spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood fast. So it's going back to verse, the last part of verse 8, it's saying the whole world came to be when the Son of God spoke. That's a definition of what the word create means. Create means to create out of nothing. Now, I'm one of the few people that went to Vegas and actually went to we went to Monet, and Barbara got a little upset because there was a Monet painting worth about $2 million. And who knows? It's more than I could. And I was this close trying to look at the brush strokes and blocking people off, but it was kind of interesting, the brush strokes, because to me his art deteriorated. Some of his artwork when he was younger was much better than when he was older, but I was just interested in the brush. But most people would look at that painting of lilies, and they weren't even pretty lilies. They're all yellow and white. I like the red ones. But most people would look at that painting and then say he created it. No, he made it. And I'm trying to give you the terms of Genesis 1. Or he worked on it. Or he built it. But he didn't create it. Because he started with paint, he started with a canvas, and he started with some lilies. But if he was in a vacuum, if you can imagine that, and he went zap, and there was some lilies on a canvas with some paint on that canvas, then that would have been created. But humans can't create, is what I'm trying to tell you. So over here in Psalm 38:3, we have a description of the creation of the universe. The Son of God spoke, and actually I could, if I don't want to get sidetracked, I could prove to you he did it with one word, one utterance. Do it. Now God, this is the way it went. At the council, the three persons said, how are we going to do this? They picked the Father's plan. It was the Father's plan. And when it came time, there wasn't time, but when it was appropriate, the Father nods to the Son, I'm putting human terms on it, and the Son says, come to be. And it came to be. And that's what create means. So remember, we're going to have create in the first verse. We're not going to have it till the fifth verse, or fifth day. So there's got to be some other things that happen. So let me just give you a little example of some of the other words we're going to meet. Look at verse 7 of the first chapter of Genesis. And here we have a word that you have translated. Well, you have two of them here. Let's make sure we get this right. You have a word made, the third word in, and God made the firmament. It really should be worked on. So we got a word worked on, which presumes it was already created. Now let's go down to verse 12. This is very interesting. Do you know that in Genesis 1, we cannot find, there's no creation of plant life? We'll get to that. Which means, back in Genesis 1:1, one of the things that had to be created was the plant life. Now when we get to Genesis 1:11 and 12, he's talking about plant life. And in verse 12, you have a verb, and the earth brought forth grass. So we have a word worked on or make, and now we have a word bring forth. None of which, the second of two words, aren't create. Now, look down at Genesis 2:7. I'm just showing you some differences. We'll be delineating these later. It's very interesting. When God the Son created Adam, he created his immaterial parts. We know from the New Testament to be soul and spirit. But he formed his body. Why? Because he created the elements for his body back in Genesis 1:1. So what, and I hate to tell you this, but none of us were created. How do we, what proof can we give, and don't give it to me right now, please. What proof can we give that none of us were created? We all have a belly button. That's why I didn't want you to show me. But I know, because I've been around, that all of you got a belly button, which means you weren't created. And Adam's body wasn't created either. And in verse 7, it says that it was formed. That's another word. So we have make, brought forth, and formed. Now, let's look at verse 22 of the second chapter, all of which are different than create. Verse 22, and here, Eve's body was not created. And in fact, it even wasn't worked on or made, because God the Son took part of it that he started with from Adam. Just as an aside, because my mind's not working 100%. I knew a Southern Baptist pastor once that came here and went, you know, and we'll get into it later. When they took one of the ribs out of Adam's side, he said, "That's why men have less ribs on one side." I said, "I think you have a seated x-ray." But anyway, that's the one bone that can regenerate itself. But anyway, let's go. What was I on? Verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from Adam, and then you have the word made. It's a different verb. This is one that should be translated built. And that's one of the terms we use for women today still, when we're not being chaperoned. So Adam's body was built from Adam, or Eve's body was built from Adam's. And that's why Adam always said she's a really built person. So that's something we're going to look at later. Now the word worked on, which I flubbed earlier, is back in the first chapter in the 16th verse. It's different than make. First chapter and 16th verse. Yeah, that's a worked on. Some of these have double, they have two and three of these verbs in the same one. And verse 16 of the first chapter, and God worked on the two great lights. Well, that makes sense. They were already created back in the first chapter, or first verse, so he doesn't have to create it. So what I'm going to tell you then, when we go back to chapter 1, verse 1, is two things. Create means to zap, I'm going to use a modern term, zap it out of nothing. There's no creation of physical things, watch my terms, in what's called the 6 days of creation. The only things are created are the immaterial parts of animals and the immaterial parts, no, I said that wrong, the immaterial part of each animal and the immaterial parts of Adam and Eve. Those are created. So nothing physical is created after Genesis 1:1. We just got rid of almost everything taught about Genesis. Now, but a bunch of other stuff happened. It gets worked on, it gets brought forth, and it gets built. And it gets made. And formed. Five other things will happen. But no more creation except for the immaterial part, which is a soul, we'll get to that, of the animals, and the immaterial parts of the first two humans, which is called soul and spirit. Those are no longer created. So we would say that the creation at the beginning, which we're going to show right now, was a perfect creation. It had involved in everything that needed to happen. And it was, for want of a better term, my term's not scripture, it was plan A. And plan A didn't work out, so they went to plan A, B. Now, so what we've shown you then is create is distinct from everything else. Now, I'm going to do a little exercise. If you'll turn to the book of Isaiah, we're going to show you some of what happened back in Genesis 1:1. We'll be spending quite a bit of time on what happened between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, but I want to show you something. Now, I want to turn to the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and I think I have a page here, page 748. Does that make it quicker for you? You got the wrong kind of Bible now that you got the big print now, huh? Well, the page is wrong. Okay, we're over at Isaiah 40. Now, what I want to show you here, and you're going to keep a marker in Isaiah, and then we're going to go back to Genesis in just a minute. But here in Isaiah, we want to look in the 40th chapter in the 26th verse. Lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who hath created these things. Now, whenever you see the word create, referring to the universe, what verse goes right there in your mind? Genesis 1:1. Who hath created these things and bring their army by number. Okay, when you look up on high, what are you looking at? Stars. Right? And he created those then in Genesis 1:1. And he bringeth out their army by number. He calls them all by name. So the stars all have a name which seem to be, and we'll get some other verses, to correspond to each spirit being. Angels. Now I mentioned that I think there's probably two angels on each star. I don't have a verse. But I think there's probably a bad one and a good one on each star, just to cut through the smoke. And we'll get to that, some of that inference later. He called them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. So verse 26 then is referring to Genesis 1:1 and is implying that in Genesis 1:1 angels dwelt on stars. We'll get some more verses that'll be stronger. Keep your finger here. Let's go back to Genesis 1:2. Because we're going to have to change. We've only changed one word so far. In the first verse, all we did was change the to an A. In the second verse, I'm going to show you three more verses in Isaiah to prove this. We're going to change a word. The word was. Now remember how I said that there's a lot of interpretation, but this I'm showing. I'm I'm showing you how we came to this. In verse 2 it says, and the earth. Now you have in your King James the word was. What I'm going to do when we go back to Isaiah, I'm going to prove to you that that word should be became. Now the next word, became without form and void, tohu wa bahu. We're going to find one of those tohu, we're going to find that word over in Isaiah the 48th chapter. And this is very, very important. So what we're going to say is that the world and the universe was, and the earth were created perfect in Genesis 1:1. And I'm going to show you a verse that's going to say that. And then it became, and that word without form should be translated probably wasteland, a wasteland, wasteland and useless. Now let's go back to Isaiah and let's look at a couple more verses in the book of Isaiah. We'll look over at Isaiah 42:2, and we want to look at verse 5 rather. So what I've tried to do, I've tried to stick it in your mind the way Orrin said that he wanted to put a grease fitting on every Christian's brain and put grease in, and put the knowledge in their head like grease into a fitting on a car, that when you see the word create, except for immaterial parts, but if it's talking about creating something physical, then that's Genesis 1:1. Okay, so now we're over in Isaiah 42:5. Thus saith the Lord God, or thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens. What verse is that referring to? Genesis 1:1. And stretch them out. He that spreads forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it. He that giveth breath to the people upon it, on the earth, and spirit to them that walk therein. Now what it's saying here then is it's going back, this is actually a phenomenon that Einstein experimented with what is it? Well, what that means is one of the things that means is that the universe is continuing to expand. And I don't give a tooly do what Einstein said. And they've got, if you read Scientific American, they all talk about the universe is continuing to expand. That's how they come up with black holes. I had a verse right here. I knew this when I was in the third grade. The universe is continuing to expand. But you know, no matter how much it expands, God, it goes, his essence goes beyond it. So it can't expand beyond its essence. And what scientists do is if they don't understand it, they just throw a couple million years at it. But what this is talking about is the universe as it expands. And what is, when it goes back to creation, Genesis 1:1, it proves that there was a methodology in what he was doing. Now, if you turn over to the 45th chapter of Genesis, we have a very intricate verse here. And I actually put it on your outline so that you could see, what's going on here. Now remember, when we have the word create, it's going to Genesis 1:1. When we have worked on and other verbs, it's going to other parts of Genesis. That's important. So let's go to verse 18 of the 45th chapter of the book of Isaiah. For thus saith Jehovah, that created the heavens. And if you notice in your outline where I translated that verse, I have that underlined. So in the outline where I translated that verse, actually I didn't translate it, I just brought it over in the King James, I think. That refers to what verse in the Bible? That first phrase refers to Genesis 1:1. That created the heavens. Now watch, there's a switch. And he himself formed. Uh-oh, so now, or that's the word worked on, we're down to verse 12 or 17 in the first chapter. I'm telling you, this word, I have it right here. The word formed here does not appear. In fact, let's go back and look at it. Keep your finger here. Formed. The first verse is two. Actually, this is, what is it? It's Yasah. I get Yasah and Yaser mixed up. Is verse 7. So go back. Keep your finger in Isaiah 45 and go back to Genesis 1:7. Yeah, that's it. And God, they had it transformed. They have it translated, formed back in Isaiah 45:18. I translate it worked on. And God worked on the firmament. He didn't create it. Now, so what I'm saying is, the first part of verse 18 back in Isaiah 45:18, the first part where it says create, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, that's Genesis 1:1. God himself that formed the earth, that's Genesis 1:7 or later, which means it's after Genesis 1:2 when the earth became without a wasteland, came to be a wasteland, and made it. I'm back in Isaiah 45:18. And God himself formed the earth and made it. That word made it, Yasah. Oh, I'm mixed up. The first one formed. You have to just forgive me. I'm going to get this acronym, it kills me. The first one formed, it doesn't come until Genesis 2:7. The second one, the word made, doesn't come until Genesis 1:7. I gave you a wrong chapter. But both of them come after Genesis 1:2 when the earth was without form and void, or became without form and void. Boy, I hope I'm not muddying this water anymore. So, what we're saying is, and I have it in your outline, after the first phrase of the heavens that were created, the next phrase is after the creation had problems. And he established it. I'm referring to, because I know I'm not making a whole lot of sense here. Let me do that this way. The first phrase in the 18th verse goes with create. That goes back to Genesis 1:1. The next phrase where he formed the earth and made it, formed and then made it, goes to Genesis 1:7 and 2:7, both of which are after the second verse. Now let's go back to the 18th verse again. Then, right after he established the earth, he made it and he hath established it, which is a third verb for us. You have another little phrase, created it. So now, it goes back to Genesis 1:1. Now, so in the descriptor of Genesis 1:1, there's going to be some more description. And he made it not in vain. He created it not in vain. So in Genesis 1:1, he didn't create it in vain. If you didn't get anything else because I goofed it all up, I'm sorry. In Genesis 1:1, he didn't create it in vain. If you turn back to Genesis 1:2, that word vain is the same one. It means wasteland. So what this verse is saying, in Genesis 1:1, when the earth was created, and actually the whole universe, that's why we went to the 42nd chapter of the verse of book of Isaiah, everything that was created was meant for what? Last part of the verse, to be inhabited. So that tells us, and if I might recap this next week, we won't be doing this next week, going back. But what that means is in Genesis 1:1, the heavens were meant to be inhabited, and the earth was meant to be inhabited, and it was. And we know that the heavens were inhabited by spirit beings. We saw that in the 42nd chapter. We know that the earth was inhabited, and we're going to see that in Ezekiel in the weeks to come. But see, I don't do Sunday school, Lord willing, until the month of February. So we'll see that in February. Oh, I'll be doing this. Thank you. I knew that. I'm just doing this to see if you're listening. So I'll be doing this one the rest of this week, month. It's the next service that I won't be doing. Okay. I knew that. And the reason that's true is I am Jehovah. There's none like me. Now, it's preposterous, if you turn back to Genesis, the first chapter, it's preposterous, knowing who, we tried to build to this, knowing who and what God is, it's preposterous to think that in Genesis 1:1 he created something that just sat there and didn't have any form and didn't have any, it was a wasteland. Isaiah 45:18 says, no, he created everything to be inhabited. So the original earth and the original universe was inhabited. Every one of them. And why do I know every one? Because it said he named every star. And he named it after the inhabitant of that star. Now, turn back to Genesis. I'm going to set this up for next week, and then we're going to have a break because I don't want to goof up anymore. Genesis, the first chapter and the second verse. So we're going to change that one word, and I think we've given ample proof for that interpretation. And the earth became without form. Remember, that's the same word that we saw over in Isaiah 45:18 that said he didn't create it without form. So it jives. And void. That word is also used. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. That means there's no land on the earth at verse 2. Verse 1, there is. This is the first universal flood. When we get to Genesis, the 7th chapter, that's the second universal flood. And the Spirit of God brooded upon the face of the waters, or on the ocean depths. So when we come to the first verse, we'll stop with this. When we come to the first verse, the earth was inhabited, and it was a busy place. All the universe was inhabited as a busy place. No Arizona. No half of Utah. No eastern Oregon. It was all inhabited. And it was all had a design purpose. But when we get to the second verse, something happened. And something happened that affected all persons of the Godhead, but was manifest by the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. Because he's brooding. I'll show you this word brood if I can. If you look at Jeremiah 23:9, this word brood, and then we'll stop with this because I don't want to make any more mistakes. Jeremiah 23, verse 9, is a good example of this word brood. It's an emotional word. And again, Hebrew being a pictorial language, and this just we're just showing you what this word means. Verse 9, my heart, I'm in Jeremiah 23:9, page 796. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. That's and so instead of saying, in Hebrew, instead of saying, I'm emotionally distraught, which would be Greek or English, in Hebrew they say their bones shake. That's the word. The word translated shake is the word back in Genesis 1:2 that the Holy Spirit is brooding. His bone, he doesn't have bones. But in pictorial language, his bones are shaking. He's shaken to his bones. Emotionally, that's in human terms, because of something happened. So here's where we're going to go. Verse 1, the earth is perfect. Verse 2, there's things gone wrong. Something had to go in between there. And I'm going to state it right out. There's no such thing as a gap theory. It's a gap fact. And if I didn't make that clear, read your outline, because I did when I did the outline. And I see that when I translated this, if you look at the translation, the underlined part of Isaiah 45:18, the underlined part is Genesis 1:1. The parts that aren't underlined of that verse go after Genesis 1:1. It took me that long to figure out what I did there. Our Father, we do thank you for your word, and we thank you that it is the Holy Spirit that's the teacher, not the human. We thank you for that. Amen. Okay. I know it's February. I knew that. If that's the worst I do, I'm doing good. You got it ready.